Can we all go on the technical part?
Yeah.
On,
ready.
Okay, good morning, Rabbi Sai. We're now already a week late for learning Hilchos Pesach. I'm sure some of the other ones have discussed Hilchos Pesach with you. I'd like to discuss today about Taruvas Chometz, Chometz in mixtures together with other things. So you have over here, let's discuss, first of all, I want to discuss general Taruvas. And then we'll move on from general Taruvas to Taruvas Chometz, because it is Neyeh, it very much makes a difference in general Taruvas, what the halacha is, and then comparing that together with the Taruvas Chometz over here in Pesach. So let's start with the following. Okay? There are, you know, sometimes you make like a matrix. You have two things on one side and two things on the other side, and you're able to fill in yes, no, no, yes, whatever it is. So we have a matrix. Remember when I was learning Yeridetz, one of the things that we learned is the mixtures of different things. And there are four types of mixtures. There's what's called lach belach, which is liquid with liquid, and there's yavish beyavish. They're solid with solid that mix together. That's one difference. The other difference between the mixtures is, one is min b'minoy, an item with a similar or the same item, and one is not b'minoy, one is an item with a different item. So let's give different examples so that we understand what's going on over here, and we'll give an example also, a Pesach example, just so people understand. Let's start with lach belach, right? You have lach belach. Let's say you have a whiskey that's been made. So whiskey is chometz. The Mishabur tells us whiskey is straight out chometz. So let's say you have a whiskey that's been made that's mixed together with another liquid of sorts. It mixes together with Coke. Okay? I think there's a famous drink that they have. You can even buy them in cans. It's called Jack Daniels and Coke. A lot of people like to drink it. It's like a famous mixed drink. Okay, it's mainly Coca-Cola. Okay, I don't drink. I'm not a big drinker, but I've seen it recently. So I know people that drink it. So I'm saying, right? So you have Coke, which for the moment, let's assume it's kosher. So you have kosher based on Coke, and you have whiskey. The whiskey is real chometz. The Coke is not chometz. So you have a mixture of your lach belach, two liquids, and you have what's called min be'enoy minoy. You have two different things. You have Coke and you have whiskey.
Yeah.
That's one type. Now, you could also have a mixture of lach belach, which is min miminoy. For example, you have kosher lepesach Coke and you have non-kosher lepesach Coke. Now, the difference between kosher lepesach and non-kosher lepesach Coke, my understanding is, it's not so much in chometz, it's more in kidneys and what they use to, whether they use the high fructose corn syrup, which will be kidneys, to make it sweet, or whether they use sugars. Okay, they use a different kind of sugar. Or if you're into zero, I don't know what they put inside. I don't know if these aspartames and all these things are or are not kidneys. Speak to your local kashrus authority. It's very complicated what is and what isn't. And kidneys in general is complicated. But you have over here Coke and Coke. Kosher Pesach Coke and non-kosher Pesach Coke. Okay, that would be one example. The other example will be the following. Let's go with la yavish b'yavish. You have flour that has become slightly chometz that mixes with flour that's not yet become chometz. And again, we're talking about over here in an instance where you cannot take out one from the other. It's mixed together in a way that you don't know. I mean, the example we give often down to Tarubas, if you have one piece of trefa chicken that got mixed in with 50 pieces of kosher chicken. Go find it. It's all chicken. Now you might say, well, it's very easy to find it because all the kosher chickens have a beard and the trefa chicken doesn't have any hair on it. But that might be a cynical view. But Lamaisa, you don't know from all of these chickens, the chicken leg that's been shechted treif and the chicken leg that's been shechted kosher, there is no real way of being able to tell. Unless you send it to a lab and check which one has salt and which one doesn't have salt on it. But you know, you're not going to do that for 10 pieces of chicken. You're sending it to a lab, it costs more than what all the chickens cost together. You just buy new ones. We have over here a yavish v'yavish, min b'minoi. You have a dry item that mixed with another dry item, one which is kosher, one which is not kosher, and you cannot tell which one's which. Okay? And then you have yavish v'yavish, min b'einoi. Okay? And there, that's probably the easiest one. If you have yavish v'yavish, min b'einoi, that would mean you have a whole bunch of matzah and you have one piece of bread that fell inside. It's because you have matzah and bread. I know exactly where the bread is, I know exactly where the matzah is. It's hard to lose a yavish v'yavish min bein emino. It's easier in a lach. When I pour Coke into the whiskey, can I take the whiskey and the Coke apart again? Maybe if it was a centrifuge, you might be able to take them apart. But in general, most normal people won't be able to take it apart. So now it's a tarubis, it's a mixture, and the mixture is finished. It's done. It's nothing to do with it. Whereas, in an instance of yavish v'yavish, if it's min bein emino, oftentimes it's not even a mixture. Because, like I said, if you have a piece of bread that fell into a whole bunch of matzah, forgetting about all the pirurim, the crumbs, I'm not talking about the crumbs now. Let's imagine that there were no crumbs there. And they could easily pull the bread out, and then it's not much of a mixture. Like, well, where's the chametz? There. I'd like to tell this story. I remember years ago, I think it was 1997. 1997, there was a very big chasna in America. There's an individual from Vienna by the name of Strulovich that made a over-the-top chasna beyond. It was just the most ridiculous chasna. It was terrible chil Hashem in all sorts of different ways. It was a ridiculous, ridiculous chasna. They took a hole and they redid the hole. At the time, I think they said the chasna cost $5 million. Okay? And that's in 1997. So try to think of that in today's money. Yeah, you could be looking at nearly $20 million. Yeah, it's probably doubled and doubled again. It's just stupid money. And I forgot to take, I went from Muncie, there were buses, coaches coming from everywhere. He had put on coaches from Muncie and from Williamsburg and from Bar Park, everyone's descending on this place. And so, I had forgot, I took along my Shabbos suit, but I forgot to take along with me my Shabbos coat. And it's the height of the winter in New York. And you know the height of the winter in New York is freezing cold. It's mamish ice cold. Everybody's been to New York in the winter, you'll know that whenever people say it's cold in Manchester, the New Yorkers here laugh. They're like, this is called cold. Remember walking to school in New York, your face freezes in, you have to wear a face mask. It was awful, awful weather. So I only had my regular weekday coat, and at the time I had a very big, bulky, white down coat. Yeah, that's what I had. And I remember going, at the end we had to leave the chasna, we left it early. I said to my parents, I cannot stay any longer. It is so bad, we have to go. So we left. So my father like, oy vey, we're going now to get the coats, go find a coat. So my father got to the cloakroom and the lady says to him, okay, which coat is yours? And he says, you see the white one? Yeah, the one and the white one next to it. And she was like, that was so easy. She's like, yeah, because my coat is the only white coat. There's a sea of black coats with one white coat. So you find the white coat very easily. Yeah? The ma'isa, that's what, so the ma'isa, that's what you have over here. You got a piece of chometz, mixed in with a whole bunch of matzah, you'll find it. It's min be'enoi minoi. It's not the same thing, so how could you get mixed up? So that's your matrix, that's your four things. You have min be'enoi, min be'enoi minoi, you have lach, you have yavosh. So now let's discuss the halacha, and then once we discuss the halacha, we can move over to understand what the halacha is by Pesach. And the halacha is as follows. It's a very, very big difference between lach, lach, and yavosh, yavosh. And the difference has to do with another very big machlokes, and the machlokes is tam ki ikar or not. Meaning to say, mita oiraisa, there's a rule that says achrei rabin mahatos. And therefore, mita oiraisa, what's the necessary proportion, ratio that you need?
Shishim.
No, not shishim. Achrei rabin, no. Achrei rabin,
51%.
1 to 2, 51%, yeah? Not even one to two. You don't even need 100% Canadian. 51%. As long as you have a roiv kosher, you're good to go. Because that's what the psak halachah d'oraisa is. Achrei rabin mahatos, you paskin with a roiv. Okay? And roiv helps us in many, many instances. We use roiv as a psak. For example, when they shech animals, they don't check all the treifas. There are 18 treifas, they don't go through every single one of the 18 treifas. They check the things that are more prevalent, and the rest of the things where they do, they rely on roiv, and unless you see a reis over there, you rely on the roiv, you say it's kosher, there's no reason. Roiv of the animals don't have a problem with the strafe, but we don't check the trefus. And that's, by the way, that's every hechsher. That's not that, that most chumadik of chumadik of chumadik hechsherim do not check all 18 trefus. They don't. You rely on Roiv, so Roiv's a psak. Here also, achirana mahatris. You could rely on Roiv, midaraisa. However, there's another halacha which is called tam kik. And the halacha of tam kik is as follows. What happens if I have the tam hadover in it? So let's go back to what we said before. You have your whiskey and your coke. Okay, we're going to talk about without cooking now. Or you can talk about you have meat and milk. Why is it that if I have meat and milk that got cooked together, everybody knows how much will I need? Shishim, 60. Why? Chazal were Meshar, and Chazal said that any less than 60, the taste will remain. At 60, the taste won't remain. And by the way, the Shulchan Aruch disagrees with this. In Shulchan Aruch, the halacha is, officially, if you can figure it out, if, let's say you had a very good cook that has a very, very good palate and is able to taste it, and he tastes it and he says, cannot taste any milk in here, then even if it's 1 to 30, it'd be mutter. Because there's no tam in the side. And if the Kohen Shulchan Aruch, if he tastes it and he says, I can taste the milk in it, the milk gives a very nice, distinct, creamy flavor, even if it's 1 to 100, still osur in Shulchan Aruch. Because he holds it has to do with tam. It has to do with taste. Tam kiker. Then we look at the taste that's in there, we look at it as if there is a taste of the milk. It's as if you actually have milk in there. And since there is up to 60 times you need to have it in order for the taste to be diluted, that's why you need shishin. And therefore, in an instance of lach delach, we hold la halacha tam kiker's deraisa. We hold that the taste is like having lemais or something there. So therefore, it would depend if you mix together min b'minoy. So let's go back to our example of the coke. You mix together, or let's say a kosher example, an example from kashrus before we even get to Pesach. Okay, you have treif of chicken soup that got mixed in with kosher chicken soup. Can you taste the treif of soup within the kosher soup?
No.
It's all chicken soup.
It's all chicken soup.
It's all chicken soup. He makes it in, don't stop playing around. Let's talk about the same chicken soup. Not one that's weaker and one that's stronger, one that is more so, one that's less so. Let's assume they're all equal. All things being equal, if you mix a chicken soup with a chicken soup, one that's straight and one that's kosher, there will not be any way you can find the tam. Okay? And therefore, if you're going to tell me, well, there's tam of treif in there, I can't taste the tam of the treif. What do I taste when I eat it? Chicken soup. Which one of the chicken soups? Go figure. Who knows? Therefore, the halacha is, by lach belach, mida eraisa, since it's the same taste, you need only roif. Because I can't say I'm tasting treif now, because I'm not. I'm tasting chicken soup, which is what it was originally. However, Chazal came and said, you need to have shishim. Midarabonon, because there is an exchange of taste, you need shishim. But that's only midarabonon. What happened? That's by min b'mino, right? Whereas min b'eino mino, there it's different. So let's go back to a different example. Let's go back to the example of chicken soup and milk. If you have some milk that fell into your chicken soup, what's it going to do to your chicken soup? It'll give it a distinctly creamy taste, right? There already you have to say, midoraisa I need shishin. Why? Because the two things have mixed together now, and by mixing together, their tastes have mixed together, I am now automatically tasting not just chicken soup, but creamy chicken soup. Treifet creamy chicken soup. Therefore, the halacha there is midoraisa in shishin in such an instance. Midoraisa, you need 60 can negate the milk, otherwise, you can taste the milk in the soup, it's also.
If you can't taste it, roiv would be okay.
Pardon?
Midoraisa, if you couldn't taste the difference, roiv would be the same.
So that's the question. According to Shulchan Aruch, you're right. And according to Rambam, you're not. So because Shulchan Aruch says, There are more passages nowadays that we cannot be arguing on whether or not there is or there isn't a taste. And therefore the Ramah says, we always work with shishim. Forget about whether you can taste it or you can't taste it. Because the truth is, we just don't have the discerning palate to be able to tell whether there was or whether there wasn't any milk in it. And therefore we say, you know what, you don't know what I'm talking about, I don't know what I'm talking about. We just don't know what we're talking about. She tastes it and you go, I can't taste any milk in it. See, that's because you, Anthony, and because you, David, you don't know how to taste it. Hand it to Gordon Ramsay, and he'll say, of course I can taste the milk in it. He's got a very, very different palate to you and me. He's an expert. And therefore, according to the Ramah, you can't be sorry on that. You need shishim always, even if you tell me you're willing to swear blindly you can't taste anything, we paskin as Ashkenazim, you would still need shishim. Sfarim, you might be able to get away with it. Okay? But Ashkenazim, certainly you'd say you need shishim regardless of whether you say you can taste it or not. The two things mixed together, you need shishim. Okay? And therefore, that's the difference by lach belach. Lach belach, there will always be an exchange of tastes. Whenever I mix two liquids, they will always mesh together to become a new entity. I had chicken soup. I had milk. Now I have, so to speak, cream of chicken soup. It's mixed together to become a new entity. Now you might say, if I cook it, the time is going to go around a lot more. It's going to be even better. That's true. But even if I didn't cook it, already now, there's been some mixing around of everything. There's palm of the milk everywhere in the soup. You can't get out of it. That's lach belach. So therefore, min min lach belach, the halacha is you need shishim, because there's taste over there. I'm sorry, min b'she'en min lach belach, because the taste has been mixed around, you need shishim. Min min lach belach, midor reis, it's enough to have roiv. Midor abonon, you need shishim. Okay? That's all in lach belach. Yovesh is a very, very different discussion. Because in yovesh, the taste doesn't move over from one to the other. Right? It's not a mixed taste unless you cook it together. So let's go back to the yovesh example. If I have one piece of chicken, cooked treif of chicken, the same recipe that falls in together with 10 or 20 pieces of treif of chicken, all the same recipe. So you can't say, oh, this one's barbecued and this one's sweet. Okay, then I can tell which one it is. I can pull it out, right? But if it all falls together, they're all cold, they're now all together in one container. Can you find it? No. Is the taste of any of the kosher chickens going to be affected by who's there from the tray for chicken that fell in there? No. In Cain's a very, very different discussion. Because now I'm dealing with, okay, they were talking about, min be'ein amin, and I'm talking about min be'minu, right? We're talking about min be'ein amin, right? By yovish be yovish. Is it gone? Right, sorry, let me go back to the same. So min be'min alach belach, you need, min be'min alach belach, you need min rabbonon, you need shishim. By the yovish, therefore, by yavish min mimino, you don't even need to have shishim. Roiv is enough. And therefore, in Aloch and Simon Kuftes, he actually says, if you have a piece of treif of chicken that fell in amongst a whole bunch of other pieces and you cannot tell it, so then the Aloch is, you can eat one of them separately. Some say you need to leave one behind so that, you know, that at least you put one aside. But on ice, you can eat all of them. Except for one. Hold on, except for one. Some say even the whole lot, because each one you'll say, it's not this one.
Eventually, you have eaten the
non-kosher. So, but on each one of them that you look at, he says, so you can't eat it all in one sitting. So if you eat it all in one sitting...
Two people can eat it together.
And that's also a question, because each one can point the finger at the other one.
He ate the tray.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. But that's like shnei shlim, right? You have shnei shlim, each one, and can blame the other one. You say, I'm not Tom, it's you. He says, no, I'm not Tom, it's you. Right? Same thing over here. Each one can say, I'm not eating the tray for one. But etzem, it's bottle baruf. Etzem, it's bottle. Say, I am eating something that's treif. This is bottle. So how can you eat treif? So if you're going to take it, make a big fricassee out of it, put it all together and mix it up together in one thing, so you see, you're definitely eating treif. But if I eat one piece of chicken, and then tomorrow I take a second piece of chicken, and then the day after you take a third piece of chicken, so you say, you ate treif. When? Sunday. Lab nafka. Sunday was kosher. No, you ate it Monday. Okay, but then Sunday was a treif. You know, you can't ever point to one and say, but if you're eating all of them together, that's what it is. Okay? So by yavish, the yavish, if it's min b'mino, there's no taste that's been moved on, and there's a din up into a roiv, therefore we'll say, even with Rabbonim, you don't need samach. Roiv is enough. Min bein amin amidai reise, v'lach v'lach, there's nisin astam, and therefore Rabbonim, v'machme, v'yovish, also, to say that you need shishim. Why? Because you might cook it together, and when you do cook it together, there'll be exchange of taste. So we have example. Okay? That's the halachas as far as the tarulis halachas are concerned. And now we move on to Pesach. Okay? So it was a bit of a long introduction, but I think it's an important introduction just to know what's what. So now comes halacha Pesach. And we speak over here about tarulis and simen tov mem beis, tarulis chametz. If you have a mixture of chametz with other things, you're by yoyev and matzeh. For example, the famous kuta chabavli, which is kind of milk extract with bread inside it, is yogurt chalva with bread, where it's a very, very pungent sauce, morya's fish brine that you put stuff in it, sheikh al-modi, a different kind of beer that didn't have mamish grain in it. Any of these things are mixtures of grain and other things. The halacha is a yo'eban ba yorah ba imotze. And here is the first discussion. So, what's the halacha? The halacha says anything that I'm over on ba yorah ba imotze on Pesach needs to be gotten rid of. Either before Pesach, if for whatever it was manabir, that's the correct thing to do. If you didn't get rid of it before Pesach, what's the halacha going to be? You must get rid of it after, on Pesach. If you find it on Pesach, you must get rid of it on Pesach. Chol HaMoed, right? Can't get on Pesach on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to do it. But on Chol HaMoed, you will be allowed to do it. And if over all of a Pesach, if you got to the end of Pesach and you had an item that you're over by your Rav, by your Matzah, that went to the end of Yom Tov, then the halacha is Chol HaMoed Pesach is also banned. Okay? But now it's going to get a little bit more complicated. Because if I have a piece of bread or a piece of pasta or something like that, that's pretty simple and straightforward. Bread needs to be chucked out before Pesach. You didn't chuck it out before Pesach, and you find it on Pesach, you need to chuck it out on Pesach. You find it after Pesach, and for whatever reason it was in the freezer and it's still edible and it belonged to you, then you need to chuck it out then. Very simple, it's bread. Right? But now the question becomes, what's the halacha in mixtures? When I have two things mixed together, chametz and non-chametz. Okay? And here he discusses something very interesting. And in general, there's a very, very big discussion about how much chametz does it need to be? At what point am I over by Yerov Ayimotzi? Very, very interesting discussion. We've got a few different discussions about this. Okay? For example, do I have to drive myself crazy in my house to find every tiny little fleck of chametz? Or do I say, if I find a decent piece of chametz, get rid of it. I'll hoover up everywhere else. What else am I going to find? Pirurim? Little crumbs? Not interesting. The bottle. Yeah? So some would say, not interesting. The bottle. Others would say, no, they're not bottle. That's a machlokes already in the chayim, whether or not pirurim are bottle or not. Certainly if they're on the floor and you're stepping all over them, sure they're bottle. Then they're ready, they turn into dirt. Right? But if you had, I don't know, if you had pirurim inside your cupboard, if you had pirurim inside food, certainly chas v'shalom, you'd have a real problem, right? Because chametz is not bottled. But that's one discussion. And now there's another discussion. When it comes to being over the isser by Yerubai, when it comes to being over the isser of eating chametz, it's only osur midereisa with kares if you're going to eat what's called a kezayis. There has to be kezayis worth of chametz that you can eat in the time of kedei achilas pras. And the example that the Gemara speaks about is the kuta chabavli over there. So you had this sauce. This sauce had bread in it, and it was a very pungent, strong sauce. And therefore, it was a sauce that people used to just dip into. Yeah, it wasn't the kind of sauce that you take with a spoon and eat. Right? If you ever met somebody, some people like to have, you speak to this friend, and they love schuk. Yeah. Ashkenazim take a tiny drop, they say, oh, it's so spicy. So I'm looking at it, goes, that's nothing. You got to put in, you mouth it, you put in, you spread it. But even Svarim, right, very few people do you know that will actually take a spoon and put it in the schug and eat the schug with a spoon. Because that's where you should take a machine. Right? So there you'd say, to eat a kizayis, to take a spoon of schug and stick it in your mouth, so you're the Meshuggah. Says, yeah, but I ate a whole spoon of schuk. Remember, when we were in high school, we made a bet with somebody. It's interesting. He didn't even need the money, but I don't know. He said, I like ketchup. Now, I like ketchup. I bet you. We bet him $5, because it was in high school in America, $5 that he couldn't eat a bowl of ketchup in 2 minutes. He literally took a bowl of ketchup. He took a spoon. I know, it made me sick. It made all of us sick. We all watched him do it, but he did it. He got the $5. He just had the whole bowl of ketchup back again. But he's the aberration. He's the yotzei min haklal. He's not normal. Nobody says, yeah, it's normal. Everybody eats ketchup with a spoon. Nobody eats ketchup with a spoon. The one guy eats ketchup with a spoon. It's a mishugana. The one guy who eats kutach with a spoon just like that, he's the mishugana, the same way the guy would eat schub with a spoon. You take schub, you take it in a certain limited amount. Nobody eats it with a spoon because it's too strong to do that. Kutach also is the same thing. It's very strong. And therefore, yes, there is chametz inside there. However, you're never going to be able to eat a kezayis of chametz b'chdei achilas pras. Because it's like literally eating schuk with a spoon. Nobody does it. Schuk is a Yemenite green or red hot pepper dish that they put inside different things to give them a kick, to spice it up. Yeah? So, They put what?
Chili.
Yeah, they put the chili. It's got chili, it's got garlic.
It's very nice.
It's very nice, I'm saying, but it gives it a bit of a kick.
It's vegetables. What's wrong with it?
Nothing wrong with it. But I'm saying, nothing wrong with it. You'll have to have it on Pesach also. What I'm saying is, but I'm just trying to say, nobody eats it with a spoon just like that. Yeah? You smear it onto something else and you eat it mixed together with something else. And the person would eat it with a spoon, you'd say it's a little bit weird.
Yeah?
But lots of people like it in their foods. You put it in hummus, you put it in other things, it gives it, like I said, it gives an extra spicy kick to it. And for those who like spice, they really like it. Yeah? So here, what happens with this kutah? You have an item that you cannot really eat kizayis b'chdei achilas pras. But if I were to look at a container of kutah, how much bread is in that container? Much more than a kizayis. There's more than kizayis in the container, it's just I can't eat all the kizayis in one go. So what's the halacha over here? So it says, even though legabi achila, you won't be chayav karis, and some even say it's mutav achila, okay, that's a separate discussion about the question of if it doesn't exist, the achila is pras, whether or not there's a chatzi shir or not. Lemaisa klape the bayirah, bayimotzi is still over. He says a very interesting thing. Bayirah, bayimotzi depends on having a kizayis. So when I look at your jar that comes that you get from your shop that says kuta chababli on the outside, right? Heinz's best kuta chababli. How much is in Heinz's, how much bread is in Heinz's best kuta chababli?
A lot.
How much will you be able to eat in one go? Very little. That doesn't matter. But I have a container here that's holding more than a kezayis. And therefore the halacha says, if you have a container that's holding more than a kezayis, you need to get rid of it before Pesach, because you'll be over by your rabbi and matzah on it. And this is a very strange thing. Somebody asks you a question. How is it shaykh that you have an item that you would be allowed to eat midarais on Pesach and yet be over by your rabbi matzah? And that's the answer of the kutach habavli. It's shaykh kutach habavli you'd be allowed to eat according to those manhamim that say there's no chatzishir. This chatzishir is not osir. So you'd be allowed to eat this kutach habavli on Pesach. Because there's no shir, no chatzishir chomps. Yet, because your container has more than a kezayis in it, you're over by Rabbi Matzah, and therefore, you need to get rid of it from your house before Pesach. If you hold it on Pesach, you must get rid of it on Pesach. If you have it after Pesach, you must get rid of it after Pesach. Why? Because any item of chometz that you're over by Rabbi Matzah on, you must get rid of after Pesach. Okay? We've run out of time. Rabbi, you say Kaddish Rabbanan? You say Kaddish? Okay. Few people saying, okay, fine.